Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
We're talking about season 4, episode 31. Mr. Walsh Goes to Washington, part 1, aired May 25th, 1994.
May 25th.
Wow. So, okay, so this is the 2-part finale, and this is part 1.
Mm-hmm. Part 1.
So when it aired all in one night, obviously.
Synopsis: Brenda gets an offer she can't refuse. Kelly comes to terms with her feelings for Brandon. Steve sees Celeste with her. Steve sees Celeste with his arch enemy. Dylan hears wedding bells while Kevin sees dollar signs. And Donna sees there's something going on between David and Ariel.
Wait, first off, I wanted to go to that.
We have to break this down because there's so many different avenues. Which avenue should we go down first? Because
the path of so least much. Resistance.
How much I wanted to go to that carnival thing.
Oh, I remember where that was.
Where?
Should we start there?
That was the longest carnival ever of carnivals.
Okay, so somebody needs to check me when this filmed. But here's what I remember. I saw it, didn't remember. And then the scene with me and Shannon and Celeste, I was like, it took me right back there. And I believe, unless I'm totally wrong, it was the Malibu Chili Cook-Off, which is Labor Day weekend. And I believe they let us come in early. So I think we've possibly filmed that Friday when it starts. And we filmed early in the day and it was so hot. And then it got nighttime.
But then here's my question. How would you have shot that in September for May?
I'm not sure. So somebody check me because I'm probably wrong, but I feel like that's what it was.
It looked like that.
It was pretty cool, though. What a great carnival. It looked fun.
It looked amazing. It reminded me of Greece. You know, at the end of Greece when they're like at the...
Unless they did it in the same space and they just recreated it. Could be.
I love the opening, though, the way they showed the two worlds of the kids at the carnival, and then they would cut to the seriousness of Andrea being in the hospital and labor.
Ooh, yeah.
I love that. I thought it was cool. Can you believe the baby was only 2 pounds, 8 ounces?
Yeah. I like what you're saying, Jenny, how we've got, like, frivolity at the fair, and everyone's having a good time. Mm-hmm. And then we're going back to like probably one of the most serious things that's happened in the series.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. That's very serious. What Andrea is going
like
through.
Eerie.
Yeah.
It made it somehow feel like suspenseful.
It made me feel like bad for like being like, ooh, super excited about the carnival, like teens. And then like, oh, okay.
And the carnival's so colorful and the hospital's so gray that you're like.
Yeah, it was an interesting juxtaposition.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, it was, my friend. And 1994, it was pretty clever for back then. We were pretty straightforward back then. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you would be like, oh, the color schemes, the shifts in mood, like you would expect it.
It was good. I don't know. But I liked it when Kelly, since we're at the carnival in the beginning, I would say, remember when Kelly said to Dylan, and he says, you got a problem, Kel? And she said, not anymore.
Ooh.
I loved that. Your delivery. It was just so good because that's like one of those lines that just like burn line.
I think I'm going to use that one again.
Yeah.
We're jumping out of order, but we get the big reveal that Kelly has feelings for Brandon.
It comes too fast. Like I didn't see
I had to wait for you to say it. It's your character.
Sorry. No, I'm ready for it. I'm like, I love it, but it came too fast for me.
Oh, that's interesting. So you think in this episode or like in her life?
I think just in the storytelling.
I just got that, Tori. Sorry.
Whoa, delay. I think in the storytelling, it has to be, we didn't see the character get there. So I didn't feel like
it was justified. The
payoff. Mm-hmm. Payoff. Like they woke up in bed together. And I was like, wait, what did I miss?
That actually was a huge disappointment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to see. I want to see that. But as a fangirl, I just want to see every second that you can show me on screen of these two building and falling in love and getting to
that
point.
Like young love.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because they're so cute together. Like she makes him a little more mature. He makes her a little more vulnerable. Like he's stepping up, becoming a man, and she can like open her heart again and be mm-hmm. young and free. And I love them together so much that it felt like sex was just, it felt like sex, and I didn't want it to feel like sex.
So that's interesting what you're all talking about. Now, technically we haven't gotten there in this. If people only watch the first half, they haven't seen what you guys are talking about, but that's okay. That's okay. People know that's okay. So I'm processing that what you're saying in that you would have liked more buildup for this couple. And I actually think you're right. Like, I guess you're right. Even when she reveals it to Andrea, and I understood why she revealed it. She's trying to like, you know, not distract, that's the wrong word, but like just help Andrea get through this. It's almost like she's been feeling it, but she didn't let us in on it.
Right.
Right.
I feel like that was just kind of a miss for the defining of these two characters moving forward. Like, you know, it was the star of the show, Jason, Brandon Walsh. Like it's a big deal for him to go into now what's going to, I think, become like a committed relationship for a while until the point I can remember little parts, like the, you know, the big thing at the end, but,
like his first big relationship, honestly.
Yeah, with like a legitimacy.
Long term, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's an aggressive betrayal to your best friend, meaning.
I know, I want a little more like, I want to, but we shan't.
Because there is bro code, right? So I'm not like one of those people that's like, because this used to happen to us in college. Like if someone in the sorority dated a certain boy in the fraternity, that boy was off limits to 100 girls. Like that's crazy, right? Yeah. But this is like way closer than that, right? It's the same thing essentially that Kelly did to Brenda.
Yeah,
it's like, is this appropriate to start dating your best friend's very recent ex-girlfriend, like by one
day. Very recent. Yeah.
I just feel like between Dylan and Kelly, the thing that really held their relationship together was like intense passion. There was that fire. We loved when they had that together. And with Brandon, it's a little more, not sweet. I don't want to say sweet, but there's longevity there. Like Brandon, you almost immediately see these two together and you're like, I think I want you guys to get married one day. So I just would love them to have waited. That's all. And you could have done that scene and shocked people without them having had sex, right?
Yeah, I think it was a miss, but what else?
I mean, I could have had a cliffhanger of her just getting to the plane and then we wait till season five to sort of play
or just
this
her
out.
Showing up and him being like, yes, all of that. But also one of our lead females, like we need like something bigger, explosive, but.
Well, they were worried about other things. I feel like they were really in the throes of figuring out, you know, if this is Brenda's last episode, you guys.
Right. Right.
I mean, we should have left with that. We should have led with that. This is like, I think this is the last time these two episodes is the last time we ever see Brenda Walsh.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's got chills.
I know, right? I hate it.
I don't want it to happen. Especially, you know, seeing that she and Dylan and Brenda steps up. That's aggressive for Brenda. Like to be like, give me something to come home to or whatever she says. I don't have it verbatim, but like, give me a reason to come back. Like I'm going to be back one day.
Uh-huh. And then she never comes back.
Do you think they left it up in the air that she would come back and hopefully they would resolve things and they wanted her to come back?
I mean,
the audience sure wanted it. We wanted it. So it would be weird.
I can only imagine that they were still hopeful at this point that they might have been able to work it out. I don't know that the line was drawn in the sand.
I love them together.
Wise.
Say it again, Jen.
I love Brenda and Dylan together.
Yeah. I want more. I feel like we never got enough of them. Like they were the it couple. And now watching back as fans for the first time for us, I'm like, I thought it was a bigger thing and it really wasn't. So I would have loved to have seen a little bit more.
I feel that same way about Kelly and Dylan. I don't think they ever got
same
enough.
Should have had two more years.
You need to get in
school.
A time machine. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about. It's like kind of interesting. Is that because of the way we're binging it essentially? I mean, we're still watching it week by week.
Yeah.
So, because in my mind, Brenda and Dylan were much longer.
Yes.
And Kelly and Dylan were way longer in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's because I had summers and years. You know what I'm saying? Like it was longer in time.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think like, because we are watching it week by week, like you said, for the first time. I care so much about these characters. Like, that's how the fans felt, you know? And like you guys, I watched this two episodes of this other show, something about I'm Pretty Now or.
Oh, The Summer I Turned Pretty.
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
My kids love that show. My girls.
Everybody's loving it. Of course, it's really good. I auditioned for a part in it. I didn't get it, but anyway.
Same. Which one did you audition for?
Wait, that's so wild.
The Dead Mom.
Oh, I auditioned for the aunt, Susie.
No way, you guys. That's wild.
It's really good. Anyways, I care about Conrad and Jeremiah. Like I've only watched one season.
Hey everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin, and their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC injectable gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
With the weather getting warmer, finally, it is time for a wardrobe refresh.
And when I want to update my style without breaking the bank, I turn to Quince.
They offer premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30.
And washable silk tops. Timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They partner directly with top factories, so Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
I use the hoop earrings I ordered from Quince all the time.
And basically live in the slippers that I ordered on their website. The prices and quality are so worth it.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/90210 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/90210 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/90210.
So that makes me think about 90210. People, I don't remember, but people must have been devastated that Shannon Doherty left.
Yeah, that was a big blow.
Like, I feel like there were tears amongst fans.
For sure. I think they, yeah. And no wonder Tiffany, like, as fans, I think you'd be a little bitter, like, who is this chick? I mean, I know we're not there yet, but we will be in a week or two. When Tiffany joins, it's like, it's very hard to sort of replace.
Yeah. And like, it's very jarring.
I mean,
like, I can't imagine the show without her.
But we were in the throes of it, so we didn't even think of it that way. But like, that is daunting. Like, as a young actress to come in, like, I would have been terrified. I wonder if she got backlash.
I see a clip on TikTok a lot of her talking about it with Howard Stern, and it's from years ago, but she's really just tried to come and do her job. That's what she said, that she really just came and tried to do her job. Mm-hmm. She talks about, like, look, it would be hard. You've got this close-knit group of people and you're like this new person. I was trying to think of another show where they had to flip out a lead and it worked.
What other show?
Like Spin City, Michael J. Fox left because of Parkinson's, and Charlie Sheen came in.
That worked.
I don't think it was ever quite the same. And there are other shows where, like, it happens on Law and Order all the time, except you always have Mariska. But, like, when Chris Maloney left, that was like, I'm not sure I fully recovered.
What's the show with another Charlie Sheen?
Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men when Ashton Kutcher came in,
Yeah.
Did that work?
Ashton Kutcher.
It always kind of works.
It's never the same, right? Ashton. It's never the OG.
I mean, 90210 we know goes six more years, right? So she was gone longer. She was gone longer than she was on for the run of the show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Which is wild. The show went on longer than the years she was on.
Right. But I can't think of a show where it really was better after the replacement. Like, they go on, and like 90210 did, and we all debate, like, when did it jump the shark, which I don't think it does for a few more years. But it's like, is there ever been a show that improved when they lost their lead?
I don't know.
I'm more like, it worries me when we lose Dylan and Brandon.
Tell us about it.
That whole thing you said about she was gone longer than she was there made me really think, like, so, because anywhere Shannon Doherty goes now, you see her and you think of Brenda Walsh, like, world famous. These characters and the actors that played them, me being one of them, duh. But she made such an impression on so many people in only four seasons of a show.
Yeah,
that's a great point too, right?
Yeah, like, that's something that she should just be so proud of. I mean,
and I think it's because the show became so big. In a sense, the show became bigger than the show. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You all and the characters became so big, even more than just like one particular episode. It's why it's so interesting to me that, like, whenever anyone thinks of 90210, they only think of you all, even though there's all these characters. I mean, I don't even think of Tiffany when I think of 90210. I barely think of Kathleen, and she was on for many years. I never think of Lindsay, and I'm not digging on them.
No, but it's that, like, it's that image that you have stuck in your head that associates with directly with that first season of the show, when, like, the summer with the bathing suits, that those people. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's a nice feeling, though. That's home.
Yeah. Do you guys remember how you were feeling, or was there so much sort of angst that it was sort of like, it wasn't as sad as much as, and I don't mean this in a mean way, where it was sort of like you could take a sigh and go, at least this will be easier for work.
I just remember moving at such lightning speed. Think of how young we were. And
yeah, it was like a whirlwind all the time.
We didn't even know the show was big and massive. Technically, we weren't adults yet. We, you know, were navigating this adult world as best we could off camera. And I think looking back now, it's really impactful. I think, I don't know about you, Jen, but for me, I didn't know how massive the show was until 2000, when the show ended after 10 years. Mm. And then I was able to have a life. And, you know, we've talked many times of, like, baby birds being pushed out of your nest. And then we were like, what do we do in this world? But it wasn't until then that I was able to take a breath and look back and go, oh my God, look what just happened in the last 10 years.
Did you guys have to have therapy in 2000? Like, when the show ended?
Jen and I talk all the time that we need it.
That's the best question I've ever been asked, by the way. And the way you asked it, did you guys have to have therapy after that?
We should have. We've had therapy for many other things, not specifically that.
I've had therapy for,
for 90210?
Whatever therapy you're having is directly related to the impact that being that famous at that age and your life circumstances. So you are having therapy for that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, look, we're getting off tangent, but we are going to do a part two. So we will get into all the details.
That's okay.
Of
this
both
is the
parts.
Stuff they like to
but
hear.
Yeah, I'm curious because we are coming to the end of season four.
Yeah.
And it's such a monumental thing with Shannon leaving the show. Like, when you look back on the 10 years, like, Jenny, you're talking about therapy, you know, to sort of deal with this 10 years of your life. Like, What were the sort of ramifications of all of this?
I'm still paying for them.
Yeah. But I know you're kind of being funny, Tori, but like, I think you might be right. Like, don't you think that this, all of it, you're still dealing with today?
It's interesting. It set up a dynamic in my brain to repress stuff going on that I sadly have carried as a through line, because we were going and so many things that we weren't equipped to handle as young people. And you just had to push it down and do the work and keep going and represent yourself. But even having that immense pressure at such a young age as a teen to be known that you're a role model for millions of people, that we were for women everywhere and men, it was hard. And I think you just kept going and repressed it, which set it up for a dynamic for other things in your life and relationships to repress your feelings and keep going.
Mm. Oh my God. You're making me all teary-eyed.
Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. It's hard to agree with that, but no, I don't disagree.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, a lot of stuff. Life is crazy, and I'm dealing with a lot of stuff. You're dealing with a lot of stuff. Amy, you're dealing with a lot of stuff. Just like, you see how the patterns play out over and over, you know, that learned behavior.
Yeah, exactly. Learned behavior at a young age. And, you know, Jen and I are talking about it right now, but you have to understand there were 8 of us total that went mm-hmm. through it at the same time. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have been the only ones. You know, I feel like Gabrielle kind of got through it because she came into it, I don't want to say older, but wiser, mm-hmm. more mature.
Yeah, had more experience.
Wasn't she married too?
She got married while she was on the show, but I think the rest of us, you know, for sure, you know, anyone around our age, Brian, Shannon, Jason, Luke, like it set us up. Yeah.
So, okay, this is maybe an impossible question to answer, but do you wish that if you looking back now, do you wish there was something you all could have done to sort out the issue so that Shannon stayed? And would that have created a totally different 6 more years? And could you have done anything?
I wish that Brenda had stayed on the show. Definitely. But I don't know where they were going to go with her character, because I don't know what they were starting. I don't know.
That's a tough one. I agree with Jen. If I'm going to answer as a fan, which is how we go into this show right now, rewatching, yes, I would have liked it have worked out so Brenda could have stayed. Being a part of seeing kind of on the being in it and on the outside of what was going on at the time, there probably needed to be a break because there was just the energy, you know, she wasn't happy. They weren't happy with everything. Like a lot of people weren't happy. I think it affected everyone. And therefore the energy became toxic on set. I'm not saying she made it toxic, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. from everything going on. So it did need a break, but yes, if we had taken a breather and everyone had calmed down and sorted out, it would have been really nice to have Brenda come back. Enter to win a free cruise for two on board the 90s cruise. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s cruise.
5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interaction, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more.
Hosted by MTV VJs Downtown Julie Brown and Matt Pinfield, plus Lisa Loeb.
Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas will be completely transformed to take you back in time for nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com/iHeart to enter to win a free cruise for two.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. Mm-hmm. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you ever wish that you could have done like what the Friends cast did, where it was like you all were a group that negotiated everything together as a group, and it was you all stayed and it, you're all in it for the 10 years, because they went 10 years too, if I believe. Mm-hmm. You're all in it together. And you would have been one group negotiating. You probably could have made more money negotiating as one group too, but also maybe that support system where you weren't competing with each other, but you mm-hmm. felt like you all had each other's backs. Yeah. Now, I don't know what would have happened, yeah. You know, because look, obviously Jason leaves at 1.2 yeah. and Luke leaves and comes back and Gabrielle leaves. So people did leave. Yeah. But I wonder if you all could have had it been yeah. different, where you could have done all 10 together.
Yeah, that I think that would have been amazing. Yeah. I think that would have been like, that's how it should have happened, because you're right. It just, the dynamics were always askew because of the way yeah. it was structured.
And it could have changed the quality of the show. You know how we always talk about it, jumping the shark.
Like, oh, yeah.
Friends didn't. It didn't.
No.
And I think maybe it's because they all were in it completely together. I don't know. I mean, I know we're totally getting sidetracked.
One could say Friends jumped the shark. Every show, in one's opinion, jumps the shark.
I don't
at some
know
point.
When they
I can't think
shark.
Of an episode mm-hmm. in season, the ending, that season 10, whatever it
Does
was.
It make you just laugh.
That was
true.
Bad compared to the
no,
season 1-2.
I just mean storylines. Like, I don't know. I guess being the age I was at the time, I didn't want any of them to get married. I didn't want any of them to have babies. Like, I just wanted them to be like single friends. Like,
and yeah, I guess there, people do say when Joey and Rachel got together, it jumped
that.
The shark.
I'm
a little
sorry.
Bit.
Yeah,
like but anyway,
okay,
I digress. So can you guys remember when you knew she wasn't coming back?
Nope. Cannot remember.
And we've tried to talk about it, and because remember, we weren't sure if we knew before or we were told after. And mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't just show up season 5 and they're like, hey, Tiffany Amber Thiessen's here. And we're like, what? Like, we knew, but.
Do you guys think if you had it to do over again, that maybe you would have gone to the executives or Shannon and said, almost like having therapy. Like, let's work this out so that we don't sacrifice this magical show we have built.
We didn't have the wherewithal or the, you know, the bandwidth. We didn't know enough about life to ask a question like that. Now, looking back, yes, we wish we could have done that. I mean, I do, but
I do too. Well,
I didn't think that far. I didn't think that big picture yet, you know?
I mean, yeah.
Well, and I guess the way you're negotiating.
That's a very adult thing to be able to, in the moment when it's happening to all of you, you're all just thrown into it, to be able to very clearly see both sides and be fair. It's.
Well, and the way you're negotiating, you had to worry about paying your own bills, right? And taking care. I don't know who had kids at this point or paying your mortgage. So it is scary if you suddenly are putting everything on the line to defend or help Shannon to stay, because what if they said, well, fine, then both of you go.
Mm-hmm. I never really thought about
like
that.
Like my dad would have fired me? I think I was safe. I was safe.
Oh my God. I really didn't even think about that. I didn't think about the bills that I had to pay. Like, one minute I was, I think all of us were 16, 17, 18 years old. And the next minute we were full-blown adults with mortgages and car payments and insurance and employees.
Can you guys remember when you found out Tiffany was coming? I'm a little like, look, I like Tiffany's character, but why did they even need her? There's enough of you that they could have just kept going with guest stars and arcs. Like, did you all feel they needed to have someone come in?
I remember this conversation that my dad had with them, that they felt like they needed a bad girl, that there were good girls on the show. And just like when they felt like they brought Dylan in because last minute, because they needed a bad boy, because Brandon wasn't that. Mm-hmm. So that's why Tiffany came in. And unfortunately, it was never set up that way for Brenda to be that, but she kind of did become that kind of love to hate character, I think, in 90210. So once that was missing, they felt like they needed to go even further.
Interesting.
Maybe they just wanted a brunette.
And maybe that too.
And how do you guys remember when you found out it was Tiffany? Because we obviously learned from Chuck that Alyssa Milano was in the running. Obviously, there was many people. So when did you find out that it was Tiffany, quote, replacing? Because everybody can use whatever words they want, but that's what happened.
No one told us that she was going to be coming on. It was just like, oh, okay, that's happened.
And keep in mind, we knew her already. Well, I knew her from Saved by the Bell when I was on. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. We knew her predominantly because Brian and Tiffany were dating in real life. So she was always on the set. So we knew Tiffany well. Like, she was there every day anyway.
That's so awkward.
But then one day she was cast and just our on-screen co-star. And yeah, I don't remember that either.
I mean, obviously, look, this was going to have its challenges no matter what for Tiffany. Like, it didn't matter who she was because she's coming into this thing, replacing an iconic character. You guys are probably like, all having many emotions. Like, it's going to be really interesting to watch season 5 because I get it. If I were you all, I'd be like, we don't want this new person coming in here and kind of like stealing the thunder and coming in as this bad girl. It's like,
I never thought that.
I don't know. I would have been a little bitter, I think.
But you don't understand. Like, our lives were
just
so
saying.
Not normal. We could barely keep up. It was like constant, like, right, Jen?
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, here we go again. It's like, I like Tiffany. I watch her cooking videos, but it doesn't mean I have to like this character that's coming. Like, I want to be like, because that always happens too with the fans. Everyone's such a big fan, and I get it because I was in it myself. But it's okay to not like change or like this character without, it doesn't always have to be about Tiffany or Shannon or Kathleen or whoever
the person
is.
Right, right.
Yeah. Because Valerie, I mean, we'll get there in soon. It was a little over the top, but we'll get there. So anyway.
Well, I mean, circling back, Yeah, that this is Brenda Walsh's last episode was something I didn't even think about until it was over. And then I was like, oh, that was it.
So was there was no hugs. There was no cake. It was not good.
I don't remember. Because here I was, I tried to look back, like, you know, I guess you have nothing but since then, if you don't recall, you have nothing but the press to jog your memory. And that's not always true, mm-hmm. right? It's not always the way it went down. But we do feed into it. We're human. So you read press and in your mind, you think, oh, maybe it was worse than we even thought it was. We don't know. and so I was even looking in this episode, like, you know, Shannon and I had been friends in real life. So I was like, is there...
Well, weren't you guys really good friends?
Like really good friends. Yeah. We became less good friends near the end with the relationship she was in. And I think it was because of that a lot. But I look back in this episode to see, like, were we separated? And we were, like, holding hands and linked in arms. And I was like, oh, we were in a good spot during this one. And then I remembered filming that carnival scene. And things were good between us. So I don't know. I feel like, Jen, we weren't completely told until it was over.
And there's no way.
Like, I didn't have that moment to say goodbye on set.
No. Again, I wish someone would remember, but I feel like this shit the bucket over the summer. Because otherwise, how could you even do the episode the way the episode is? I don't know.
You wouldn't have made it that way.
Yeah. Right.
So they could have, it could have been like things before and you come back season 5 and she's like, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't go to London. I want to stay because of Dylan now. Right. Technically.
Totally. Of course. Okay. Right. It's amazing cliffhanger to think she's leaving and fans are stressed all summer and then she comes back.
So what happens? Who do we ask?
Nobody remembers or they won't claim it to. Nobody wants to like own it.
I'm glad that I swear to God, I'm glad that I'm not the only one who doesn't remember.
No, it seems like no one does.
And I think I don't remember that because it was an unbelievably hard time because it was not working on set between everyone. But on the other hand, I felt bad because I was friends with her. And so I think I blocked it out. Mm-hmm. Like, so I can't remember how it ends. I have no idea.
Well, and I wonder if it was so tumultuous that at the end of taping this finale, you guys were like, oh, thank God it's summer. Like, I need a break from all of this.
I don't know.
I don't remember either. That's weird. Like, why don't we remember?
Maybe there's a technical term.
Trauma.
Post-PTSD.
Block it out. You block it. If stuff is bad. You literally block it out.
But
on the other hand, there are horrible things in my mind that I can never stop seeing.
Right.
Why can't I block that shit out?
Trauma blocking is a real term. It's an effort to block out and overwhelm residual painful feelings due to trauma. Yeah. And painful feelings doesn't have to be when you think of trauma, something major. It could be like, I'm torn or I feel bad or I have love, but there's this. But
what's it called?
Trauma blocking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trauma blocking. Sorry. I don't remember. I'm trauma blocked.
Maybe we should have a hypnotist on and get it out of you guys.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
That's kind of cool, so right? You probably can do it. I've seen him do it on Criminal Minds. Next week, we'll watch it with fun. We've got this part done, and next week we can watch the full finale and talk about it with all the good of what the episode.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. We really did. We jumped the shark right there. That's what we did.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star starting May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.